family and the children, but particularly Luke and Rachel as they come forward to share with us. They have been in Cambodia for 3.5 years and serving in Asia, a region close to our heart. And, come out, guys. Yeah. One thing I know about working cross-culturally and traveling is it's very tiring to come home and to talk to people who may not know a lot about that experience of constantly moving and traveling and adjusting and speaking at 14 churches in just 6 months and having to say the same thing over and over again and hope that Christians in Australia are actually interested in being a global church. It's one of the challenges. So we want to pray for them because we know it is wearying. Mm. We've had that experience many times. And but it's great to have met you at coffee a couple of weeks ago.
It was.
Really good. And we are just so glad to hear what you're going to share with us today and continue the partnership. Mm. Thanks so much.
Thank you too.
God bless you. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It is great to be back with you. We were probably last here about 3.5 years ago before we headed off to Cambodia. So it's good to be back. I recognise some faces. I won't probably remember many names, so please forgive me for that. But I'll just introduce ourselves again, Luke and Rachel. And we have three kids, Isaac, who's 16, and Talia, who's 13, and Michaela, who is 11. So they've grown up a little bit over the last 3 or so years. So we have been in Cambodia for the last almost 3 years. We came back a little bit earlier than 3 years just to fit in with school schedules. But we've been working in Siem Reap, which is sort of in the northwest part of Cambodia. And we've been working with Global Interaction, which is the Baptist Church's mission organisation. We are there as a part of a team of 12 adults. Are you in charge of that?
It's okay.
Okay. 12 adults and 13 children. And Luke is the team leader of our team over there. We're lucky that part of our team, we have other South Australians, so they understand and know what it's like to be from SA, but it is good to be back in Adelaide at the moment. So you can see up there is a picture of our team. This photo was taken about 2 or 3 days before we left Cambodia to come back to Australia, and it was the first time our whole team had been together ever, as the team now stands. Some team members left and came back to Australia early on in the COVID experience. And in the meantime, some joined the team. So up until 4 days before we left, we hadn't all been together in the same country. So we spent a few days together and then we jumped on a plane and came back to Adelaide. So together with our team, our vision is to see vibrant communities of faith coming to follow Jesus in distinctly Khmer ways. And Khmer is the word for Cambodian people, so you'll hear that a few times this morning. We really long to see Khmer people come together, pray together, reading scriptures together, and being discipled within their own culture in ways that are both distinctly Cambodian, Khmer, and biblical. And the exciting thing is that after almost 3 years, we believe amongst some of our close Khmer friends that there may be just the start of such a community. Today we're going to be sharing with you a little bit of a background about Cambodia, a bit of what's been happening for us over the last few years, and some of the things that we'll plan to do when we go back, which we hopefully will be able to do just after Christmas, early next year. As part of that, we'll be doing some Kahoot today, and so hopefully it will run smoothly. But there'll be some questions that you will know, and there'll be some questions that you don't know. But the idea is just to have a bit of fun and maybe stretch our brains just a little bit and find out something maybe new. So if you would like to switch to the Kahoot, there should be a code coming up when we start the Kahoot. If you just play. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I can't read that. So you're going to be the host?
Host, yep.
Sorry.
So we had a limit of 10 people on the free version. There's a chance it might let some few extras in. So once someone from each table is loaded up, if there's some space, you might a larger group might like to split in two, those sorts of things.
You can just go the classic and, yeah.
Pop your hand up for a moment if you've done a Kahoot before. Okay, some but not many. So to score high points on Kahoot, you have to get the answer right, obviously, but also it's about speed as well. That'll be a bit slower because you're working it out in groups unless someone takes over. But think about speed, but also accuracy to the questions that we're asking you. So maybe in the speed, the smaller groups have got an advantage. Who knows, maybe in the bigger groups, in terms of accuracy, you've got more minds on it. So we'll see how we go.
Yeah. So you should see that code on the screen there. If you put that in, it should put you up on the top to say player. So we've got... A few players now. Beautiful. Some good names coming up there. Okay. Is anyone having trouble, need a bit of help? We can send the 16-year-old over to help with any technical... problems. That's six. Have we got six?
Six, seven.
Oops. Is there anyone having trouble?
Do you want to be here?
If you grab my phone, it's on my phone. And I can use
my phone. Just sort this one. See if you can help me out.
Carl?
Okay. See if you can just help me out.
Michaela, can you come over with my phone and sit on this table and help them? It's on the floor. My phone's on the floor. Can you come over and you can help this thing here? Just open the Kahoot on there.
It's okay. Just about two. Yep. Just check it out on who's in. Is trying to get in this in.
Okay, excellent. We've got Maxie on.
All right. Is everyone who's trying to get in now in? Anyone else? All right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So if any bigger groups do want to split, there's a few more spaces available still. All right, we're good to go? Still going here. Okay, just a moment.
Winners. Okay, great.
All right. Okay.
Yes, we can start.
So speed and accuracy.
Yeah. So there was a couple of extra members of our family that I didn't introduce. And this is a question about our dog. So what is the name of our dog? Is his name Fruchok? Is it Aussie? Is it Adelaide? Is it Billy? He's got an Australian / Adelaide name. Which of those is his name? If you've read some of our newsletters, you might know this. Otherwise, it might be a random guess. Okay. So our dog's name is Ozzy. He was named by Michaela as a remembrance of Australia. So.
All right, three correct.
Three people got that one right. Okay. The next question.
What, leaderboard?
So the winners must have got that quickly. That's because one of my daughters is on that team, I think.
Advantage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, next question. Thank you. So the next question is, Cambodia shares a land boundary with Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, and which state is the closest in size to Cambodia? Is it Victoria, New South Wales, Tasmania, or South Australia? Okay, I think we've got everyone in.
Yep.
The correct answer is Victoria. Cambodia is actually about twice the size of Tasmania. So Victoria is actually bigger than Cambodia. And we live in Siem Reap, I mentioned before. It's about 5 hours drive from Phnom Penh, which is the capital. It's got a population of both rural people and urban people living in urban areas. And there's some things that Siem Reap's a bit famous for, popular tourist attractions. So I wonder which of these tourist attractions is what we are both most known for. Oh, sorry, I've skipped the wrong question.
Ah, population.
The population. So which group of states is about the same as the population of Cambodia? So you can see there's people from Victoria, New South Wales, South Australia and Tasmania. Put all those people together, that's about how many people are living in Cambodia.
About 16.5 million.
Mad Max is coming up right into the lead. Great.
Okay, other question.
This is the question I read before. So it is, what is Siem Reap most famous for? Is it the floating village? Is it the Lotus Farm? Is it the Angkor Wat Temple Complex or is it the Water Festival? And this picture is taken from basically our house. So this is our view. So most people got that one. Correct. It is the Angkor Wat Temple Complex. Well worth seeing. Okay. Next question. Okay. In Cambodia, lots of different kinds of shops. Which of these will you see on every street? A pharmacy, a laundromat, a drink shop, or a hairdresser? I can hear whispers of the right answer. And it is drink shop. Pretty much all of those shops, the pharmacy, the laundromat, and the drink shop, you will see multiple of those in most streets, but even on the smaller streets, on the street where we live, there are drink shops, people just opening shops to sell drinks to people.
Okay, we're going to hit pause on the quiz for a little while. We'll come back to it though. But yeah, we just wanted to say good morning as well and thank you for having us this morning. Everything Dan said before was right about the experience of coming back from overseas. We've been back since the start of June. We visited a number of churches as well as we've had some time off at the start with family. But it's been good getting back to Australia and just seeing so many people. And our visits around the churches so far have been so wonderfully encouraging. Churches across the Baptist kind of movement, similar at heart, but different in kind of their expression and their placing around the city. And it's been really great to just be welcomed and especially to be encouraged in what we're doing as we get amongst friends, family, supporters. So we want to say a huge thank you for being with us in this journey the last three and a half, four years, and for having us this morning. But this thing of that last question on drink shops, I want to tell you a story about some friends of ours, some neighbours of ours in Cambodia. And those sort of small drink shops is something, they're so common, and it's something that a lot of families do to as one of their income streams. It's the way they make money, just by operating these small stores. And we noticed that after we moved into our house, which was, our house is just out, getting toward the outskirts of Siem Reap, but we're in village life. And soon after we moved into our home, a family about 200 metres down the road from us opened one of these little drink shops. And I'm going to introduce you to this family in a moment, but I want to just read a scripture first before we do that, which we're going to share around this morning, just out of these few verses. And this comes from Luke chapter 10, which is Jesus' sending of the 72. And I think that's... my clicker's not working. Yep, that one there. I'm just going to read these few verses. And Jesus says, as he's sending the 72, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near. That's a small snippet out of a much bigger passage of scripture, but even in just those few verses, there's many aspects that we could speak about from Cambodian life. And one of those is about how difficult it sometimes is to eat what's put before you. We've had those experiences, but we're still here and we've survived them, and they've actually been a lot of fun. We won't say too much about that though. We want to just focus in sharing some stories this morning about the concept of people of peace. Like Jesus says here, if you enter a house, you know, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. So we want to introduce you to some of who we call our people of peace, who are people who essentially display some sort of openness, initially to us, but ultimately to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So people who invite us in, people who do that. They invite us in from the outside of their community and their society and their culture and their families and their friendships. And they invite us in to sharing those things with them. And it's been amazingly incredible to experience the goodness and the graciousness and the generosity of so many Khmer people who have done that. They've invited us in to be on their turf and to share in their lives and in the rhythms of their lives and their societies. It's been a real privilege, and it's been some amazing times and some amazing experiences. And Rach talked before about, you know, our main reason for being in Cambodia is over time we pray to see communities of faith come to life, which is just what we might see as small house church communities coming to life as people meet Jesus. So our people of peace, those you'll meet this morning, we're praying might be, amongst those people might be the origins of one of these communities of faith, and we'd love to see that happen in our next term. But back to the story, the drink shop and our neighbours down the road. So this is Sarah and her family. Sarah is the young girl up in the top with the kind of the brightly coloured shirt on. This is an extended family unit of probably 20 or so people who live in about three or four houses all co-located together. So it's multiple generations, grandparents, children, aunties, uncles, grandchildren, the whole deal, all in this one little space. And we've gotten to know most of them. These are our neighbours and our friends, and we saw them open this shop. You can kind of see it up there in the background. They opened this shop, as we said, it's very, very close to when we first moved into our home. And we saw this happen, and we started to just take the opportunity to stop by there every now and then. We would ride our motos up and down this road 5-6 times a day sometimes. Stop occasionally, buy a drink, say hello, and just try to spark up a little bit of a conversation as best we could. And there was one Friday afternoon I was riding my moto home and I decided this time I was going to try to just take a little step further. So I stopped again, bought some drinks. And this time they didn't invite me in, I invited myself in, which they were very gracious in receiving. I bought some drinks and just sat with them for just 4 or 5 minutes and said a bit more of a hello and explained that we were the family down the road. And it was just the next little step in a friendship developing. And what we didn't expect from that one little experience was that we never had to invite ourselves in again, because every time we're down that road, every time we go for a walk, always invited in. And we started to get to know them. I'd drop by and talk to the men. Rachel would drop by, talk to the women in this family. And I was sitting outdoors at that table one night with Sarah's dad. And I found out, having never spoken to Sarah before at this point, I found out she was learning English and doing pretty well with it, but wanting to learn a little bit more. So, you know, in looking for opportunities to keep connecting, I figured that was something that was, I speak English reasonably well. I figured I could try to do a little bit of teaching, and I started doing that once a week for an hour, then twice a week. And it was a wonderful opportunity to do that and to see her grow in her language competency, which English speaking is the pathway to many, many jobs. So it was just a little step we could take to try to help equip her and her family for the future. So that's been great and it's been a lot of fun. But even better than that was what started to happen very soon afterward, which after those lessons, which is that often I would be invited to stay, sit with the family and just chat some more. And it just opened up the next level of conversations all over again. And just gradually over time, the conversations have started to deepen. And probably one of the really exciting moments was before Christmas one year, sitting with the family, and one of the men in the family asked me what Christmas was all about in Australia. Like that, they know Christmas in a commercial sense. They don't necessarily have an understanding of what it means from a Christian point of view. And so he asked me that question, and I put on the best kimono I could use at the time, and I said something like, "Na Australi, bon Noel, gudjia ambi, belna preyesu bangat na konong di poblo, sankam di poblo." I was just able to say that in Australia we celebrate Christmas. It's about when Jesus was born into the world so that he could rescue the world. And slowly, slowly, those sorts of opportunities have come. And because of our language limitations, it can be frustrating. We can't always meet the fullness of the opportunity that the question invites, but we're learning to trust God to do what he will do with the little bit that we can say, and trust that the Holy Spirit's at work in these relationships and these friendships. So these are our dear friends. We would love you to be praying for them. We still have text messages back and forth every now and then while we're here. So they're doing well. They're safe and well during a pretty disruptive COVID time at the moment over there, and we'll say some more about that shortly. But please be in prayer for Sarah and her family. They're wonderful people, and we would love to see them come to know more of Jesus as we return next year. So Rachel's going to take us through a couple more Kahoot questions.
Okay, so we're back to the Kahoot. So when Luke spends time with Sarah's family, he often has the opportunity to accept Khmer hospitality, and part of that means he gets to eat some interesting things, although it sounds like some of you have eaten some interesting things just recently as well. So things like snake and snails and crickets are commonly eaten in Cambodia. I'm not so much a fan of chicken feet or pig's ears. Tasted those. They're not high on my list of need to eat every day. But the next question is going to talk about some of the things that Luke has eaten. So which of these things has Luke not eaten? Raw crab, cow intestine, fermented fish paste, or rat? What do you think? And the answer is cow intestine. You're actually, so not many people guessed that one. They got rat. He's eaten rat. He's eaten raw crab. He does tell me though that he has eaten pig intestine. So he hasn't eaten cow, but he has eaten pig. Sounds delicious. I actually make a point of not visiting our neighbours when it might be close to mealtime. I'm not as adventurous as Luke is. And the next question, please. So we get to see some very strange things in Cambodia. Which of these have we not seen? A toilet strapped to the back of a motorbike, a hairdresser called Mr. Hack, a crocodile strapped to the back of a motorbike, or two snakes at our lounge room window. So the answer is what most people thought, a crocodile strapped to the back of a motorbike. We haven't seen it ourselves, but we've seen a video of it. So it has happened. They carry anything on a moto, and we keep on getting surprised by some of the funny things that we see.
We also saw a video of an ostrich running down the main street of Siem Reap, but we don't know where it came from.
So every day we still continue to be surprised by some of the funny things. Some things make us laugh, and some things just sometimes make us a little bit uncomfortable. We still have a game in our household where we count how many people on motorbikes. So our total is very poor, 4 people on a motorbike, and I think that probably went for about 10 metres. So we usually get 3. I'm usually not one of those 3. Sometimes I can take 2 others on my moto, but more numbers when Luke's driving than when I'm driving. And we get asked things like how old you are, how much you weigh, and how much rent. Now, the next question is, which of these... Okay, that's in a different order to what I expected, but answer this question. Which of these is not a common question you may be asked by my person? Is it your name, how old you are, where you're going, or how you are?
Back to the story of this one.
Yeah. Okay, and it's your name. So in Cambodian culture, being asked your name's not very important. They'll normally talk about, they'll greet you by saying about your relationship. So hello sister, hello brother, hello auntie, uncle, grandfather, even if you're not their auntie, you might be still called auntie depending on how old you are. Okay, so we'll go back to the slide. Oh.
That's right. Do this. Do one more.
Okay, we're going to do this while we're here. So we do make mistakes when we are saying Khmer. So which of these had we said? I'm going to swim to Phnom Penh. I like to eat Khmer people. The cats woke me up last night because they were boxing, or this food is saucepan. Okay, you're actually all right because either Luke or I have actually said all of those sentences at one time or another. Our favourite one is this food is saucepan. It's supposed to be this food is delicious, but the word for saucepan and delicious are really similar, and the word for delicious is really, really hard to say, so we inevitably say saucepan instead of delicious. So if we'll swap back to the presentation now. Cool. All right. So we just talked a little bit about a few strange things. So it's not only us who think things are strange in Cambodia. Many of the things that we do as outsiders to the Khmer culture seem pretty strange to Khmer people as well. So we do silly things like cooking our meals and spending our free time inside our house. And we wear short sleeves when it gets hot, which is always, rather than long sleeves to protect us from the sun. Another thing that we do that seems strange to Khmer people is that we walk our dog. Now, dogs in Cambodia are usually free to go wherever they like and do whatever they like. So us taking our very un-Cambodian white fluffy dog for a walk, not only for a walk, but a walk on a leash, probably sounds and seems quite strange to Khmer people. Now, it is when I was out walking our dog on its leash that I met one of the ladies in the neighbourhood. I go and walk Aussie quite often around the block, and it didn't take long for this lady to see me. We had a few little brief encounters, and after she realised that I was probably had some Khmer language, it didn't take long for her to invite me in, and she would say, "Oh, so ma ong kui leng," which is a phrase that's used by lots of Khmer people, and it basically says, "Please come, sit and play." And it just means, come, have a chat, spend some time with us. And now I can't walk around our block without her inviting me in. Now, as I said, we don't greet each other by our name. She and I, her, when we see each other, we'll say hello sister to each other because we base our relationship on our, how we greet each other on our relationship based on age, gender and our friendship. So it's a bit strange not being able to refer to people by their names in Cambodia. Took us a while to get used to that. But when we're talking as a family about her, we need to be able to call her something. So she's affectionately known in our family as Frog Lady, and that's because she raises lots of different animals to sell. She sells to market stall holders so that they can then sell the animals that she raises. So she raises frogs and fish and crabs and quails and chickens and ducks. But one of the first things she just started doing was frogs. So that's why she's called Frog Lady. And Frog Lady is one of the most generous people I know. She lives in that little small house, which we would call a little tin shed. That is her house. But whenever I go and visit her, I usually come home with something that she's given me. Usually it's vegetables. Sometimes it's dried fish, yum, yum. And sometimes she'll give me a whole chicken. And luckily she's killed it and plucked the feathers before she gives it to me because I might be stuck if I had to kill it myself. But one day I actually came home with a fishing net with two quails in it, two live quails, and they were for the girls to have as pets. So you can imagine me walking down the street with a very excited dog and these two quails in a fishing net. And I didn't really know what I was going to do with these quails when I got home because she'd been asking me to buy a cage and I just hadn't done it. And she gave up and gave me the quails anyway. So this is Frog Lady. She is another one of the people who have just invited us in and allowed us to share part of her faith. Her life and share time with her and be part of her family.
All right, time for some more kahooting. Do another two or three questions now, I think. We could jump straight to the next one. We're going to talk a little bit more about language questions, I think. So how many consonants and vowels are in the Khmer alphabet? That's not all of them.
Yeah, that, don't count them. That's not all
of them. Yeah, 69. It's said to be the most complicated alphabet in the world, which isn't helpful when you're trying to learn it, but we're getting there. All right, so next one. Rachel's going to have to help me with this. Can you read?
Yep. Ba ne ak an ne ni ne nang chne sakala moi.
If you know what that means.
aren't the answers. It's just whether you can understand that or not. And if you do, you could say the yellow one. It says, no one knows what it says. It says, if you can read this, you win a chocolate. I'll get to have the chocolate myself.
All right.
We have a new winner.
Leader. Whose table? Was that the group name? That's all right. Next question. What is the primary religion of most people in Cambodia? The picture might give it away. All right, good. Buddhism with a healthy dose of animism as well. So we'll do one more Kahoot question for this round. Which major festival will be celebrated this coming week? Right, currently happening right now, actually. Pachumben Bonomtuk, Khmer New Year, King's Birthday. All right, we've got quick answers. Correct answer, Pachumben. It's a two-week festival which was starting just last week, and it's a three-day public holiday. We'll say a little bit more about that briefly. But we might jump back to the PowerPoint now, if that's all right. So we asked those questions around alphabet, culture, language, those sorts of things, because one thing we know is that it's vital for us to be learning and understanding those things as best we can. So a big part of our first 3 years there was learning exactly those things, culture and the language. We've come a certain way. We've got a long way to go. But we know that we need to do this because without understanding the culture and the language and the worldview of the people we're seeking to share the good news of Jesus with, we're likely to communicate the wrong sorts of meanings. So having a grasp of these things is really important. If we do, we can, as best we're able, present the gospel in a way they're able to more easily understand than if we just tell them how we think we understand it. The culture makes such a difference in how things are heard. So we put a lot of time into that. And the Pachumben Festival itself was meant to be happening right now. It's actually been cancelled right across Cambodia because Cambodia is in a pretty bad place with COVID at the moment, and gathering that many people for such a long period of time would have obviously made things a whole lot worse. So that would be a big grief to a lot of people in Cambodia. Pachumben, it's about seeking to earn merit or favour for typically your ancestors, whether they be living or dead. It's a way to earn merit for ancestors so that they might have a better next reincarnation, like a better next life in a Buddhist understanding of things. So that opportunity is not there in the same way as it would be, which is the biggest event every year. So that's a big loss for Cambodia happening right now. But Buddhism is the context that we want to introduce you to our next friend and person of peace. He'll be on the next slide. So this is Simon. And one thing Global Interaction asks all of its intercultural workers to do is to become a part of a community of practice, which means to join a group of local people who meet together for their own reason and for their own purpose. So it's about us attending something that's not ours at all. We just participate in something that already is. So it doesn't depend on us in any way. It'd be like joining a sporting club here, but not running it, not being responsible for it, just attending and being a part of that with the people who are a part of it. And through that, looking for opportunities to get to know people, sharing their lives and share faith with them. So I met Simon. My community of practice became a small Buddhist temple in the middle of Siem Reap. And I started going there just to watch and observe and see kind of Buddhism being lived out in one sense. And I would go once a week, just sit and watch, read a book for a little while, that sort of thing. What I wasn't expecting was that Simon and about a dozen other men work at that temple as musicians. And I was sitting there one day just quietly reading my book, and the musicians were on a break, and I looked up and Simon was kind of beckoning me over. And in Cambodia, you don't do that like that, you do it the other way around. So he was doing this. Fortunately, I knew what it meant by then. So he kind of called me over and I just sat and had a chat with him for 5 minutes and can't really remember what we talked about, but it was something he initiated. Our friendship's grown from that. And the more we were able to do that, I'd get along. Sometimes he was working, sometimes he wasn't. But when he was, we'd have a good chat. And again, like our other stories, those conversations have gone deeper over time. And then more recently, we were invited to a few events as well. Some of his family events, we had him around for dinner and his family. And some of his children are wanting, well, it might be him and his wife wanting their children to learn more English, or it might be the children themselves wanting to learn more English. I don't know which yet, but there's an opportunity there I'm hoping to be able to explore as well when we go back. Just before we left Cambodia to come back to Australia, I was having lunch with Simon at that temple one day, and for some reason he started talking about the word Sartuk, which is often said at the end of a Buddhist prayer. And he was explaining the meaning of it to me, of that word, and I can't properly understand it, but from what I understood from that conversation was that the word Sartuk is about asking for help, asking to find within themselves the ability to do good and to live well so that they might earn more merit for themselves again in their, well, in the current life or in their next life. But it's a very self-empowered kind of thing. You've got to find that yourself. So Sartuk means help me to do that, help me to find a way to live a good life. And Simon shared that with me, and I was able to share what the word amen means, which, of course, we use at the end of prayers. And that's more about asking God for help to do the things that we can't do. So it's very much a contrast. And just a small conversation, something that came over time, and opportunities that continue to grow. So Simon and his family are wonderful people. We'd love you to be praying for them too. Looking forward to connecting with them when we go back. He, just a couple of days ago, Simon messaged. Likewise, he and his family are doing well too. There are a lot of sick people around Siem Reap at the moment, but thankfully Simon and his family are all doing well, which is good news. Just to give you a sense of what COVID has been like, we can't talk about the last 3 years, none of us can, without COVID coming into the conversation. So just two short questions on Kahoot. So you get a sense, there's two parts to the story of COVID in Cambodia. So these questions will illustrate that. First one is, in 2020, how many cases of COVID were reported in Cambodia for that year? Right, and the answer is 500 in the first year. So the first year, COVID itself was not a particularly big problem in terms of illness. I'll say a bit more about that in a moment, but we'll do the next question, which is how many cases of COVID have been detected so far this year in Cambodia? So the answer to this one, in 2021, sadly, it's 107,000 so far this year. So there are two parts to that story. When COVID began, by good planning, good management, and probably some good luck, it didn't get a foothold in the country. It didn't. There were a few very small outbreaks, but they were able to wind those in. That all changed early this year when, unfortunately, some people who were in quarantine bribed their way out and had it and went through the city that night, and it just set it off across the whole country. So economically, it's been devastating. Siem Reap with the Angkor Wat temples is a very tourist kind of market as well. Tourism dried up in the first year. Thousands of jobs were lost. Hotels closed across the country. It also had the effect of separating families, because often the men of the family would have to leave town to go work elsewhere to keep some money coming in. So economically, socially, it's been terrible. education as well. Schools have been closed for the most of the last 18 months now. They're just starting to reopen some at the moment. So, but that means a lot of Khmer students have lost a year of education on a minimal education anyway. So that the effects of that will flow on for a long time as well. So it's not a good story, but, and actually Siem Reap, where we live, has gone into full lockdown for the first time just about a week ago now, and that's been extended for another couple of weeks. So it's not a great time, but the good news is that the vaccine rollout has gone very well, and they're 80% vaccinated now. What we're hearing is that that's not stopping people getting sick, but it's lessening the severity of it. But we're being told that that's giving people a lot of hope as they can start to see life maybe beginning to return to normal. So we're praying that that's the case as well, and that the worst, although it's bad right now, that maybe this might be the bottom of the worst of it. So obviously that's a prayer right around the world, a prayer need right around the world, but Cambodia has got having some tough times too. All right, Rachel's going to tell one or two more stories, a couple of questions, and then I'll close off for the morning.
Okay. So like many Khmer people, our landlords have been significantly impacted by COVID. Initially, it took us about 6 months to find a place that we could call home. And when we managed to get a house, we were blessed to have very great landlords. They always went out of their way to quickly resolve the problems that we had with the house, which was really good when things like the water pump stopped working, so we had no water in the house, or the roof started leaking during the wet season. So we were very happy with them for being so happy to make sure our life was running easily. It's not always typical in Khmer culture for landlords to do this. Usually as soon as you move in, you become responsible for any repairs or improvements to the property. So we were particularly lucky. But when COVID hit, our landlord, Lee, he worked at the airport. So naturally, he lost his job and our landlords had to sell their house. So that meant that although we were able to continue living in the house with new landlords, we weren't able to connect with this family as often as we would have liked. So like many Cambodian people, our landlords had to find alternative work and employment. And earlier this year, we were able to reconnect with them because we found out that they were living above a small shop that they had started to run. We were able to connect with them. We were able to go out for dinner with them a few times. But more than that, we were often able to stop by their shop, buy a drink and have a chat. As our relationship grew with our landlords through a family connection, they told us that... As our relationship grew with the landlords, they told us that through a family connection of theirs that they had heard a little bit of Jesus and that they wanted to learn more. So we were able to do that just in some small ways initially, and one of those was I was able to bake some hot cross buns and deliver them at Easter time. Now, as Luke mentioned, Khmer people do sort of know a little bit of the commercial side of Christmas, but they really have never ever heard of Easter at all. So we were able to share a little bit of what Easter meant with them. Now, we got together with these guys just before we left Cambodia. We had dinner out with them. And while we sat and we talked together, we talked about the things that we would do when we returned to Cambodia. We talked about things like going on outings together, our two families together, and that's something that we haven't been able to do with COVID. We talked about cooking together so that my friend could sell some biscuits at the shop that she runs, and we also talked about meeting together often to share more of who Jesus is. So please pray as we continue to grow and share with our old landlords, Lee and his family. Now, we explained earlier that our focus is on faith sharing. So we hope that with prayer that will lead to communities of faith forming. And while this is our focus, we also believe in a holistic gospel that seeks to transform not only the spiritual but also the material. So with our team, we're busy establishing training and educational initiatives so that we can help the Khmer people secure jobs for the future. So, Kahoot?
Yep, just so, one, I think.
Back to Kahoot for 1 minute. Just for one question. We are nearly there, guys. So this question just asks what other things that Luke and Rachel are doing to help serve the Khmer people. Are we teaching English, training therapy staff, training staff in hospitality, or teaching financial literacy skills? I'll give you a hint, two of those are right, so if you get one of them, you'll get a point. Yeah. So Luke's talked about his teaching English, and I'm doing some training of therapy staff. I'm a speech pathologist, and I've been working with some staff to help build their skills. There's no courses in Cambodia about speech pathology, so I've been able to train and equip some staff in those sort of skills. And I'm really looking forward to building on those skills of staff when I return. And we're looking into starting a bit of a project to give Khmer people more access to services, disability services. When I go and volunteer at the NGO that I volunteer at, I find out that there's a 2-year waiting list for the kids to be seen, and then they're only seen for a very short time before this discharge because they're really worried about getting kids through the system. So hoping to start a bit of a play and therapy space for them so that they can access therapy for a bit longer. So that's what we're hoping to do a little bit when we return to Cambodia, to continue to teach English in family contexts, but also to continue to work into the disability field within Cambodia as well.
Okay. All right, I think we've well overgone our time limit, so apologies, but just to wrap up, you know, everything we've talked about this morning is, of course, it's a work in progress, both in terms of the relationships that we're enjoying with Khmer people that we know, the sorts of projects and things we're involved in. You know, these things happen over the long term. So we're looking forward to going back and being involved in those things. Our hope, God willing, is that we'll be able to return to Cambodia in January. In this kind of current environment, there's a lot of things that have to line up for that to happen. But that's our goal, holding to it loosely, but praying that that'll be possible soon after Christmas. And, you know, we tell our stories and the things we've done, and it's not, of course, meant to be about us. We just happen to be the people at this point, some of the people who are called to be in Cambodia doing the sorts of things that we're doing. So, you know, the stories we've told, and even the ones we haven't, they're about God at work. They're about the things that God is doing, the things that we believe God is doing, but we're kind of walking that path as well as time goes on and as things unfold. So it's about God, it's about Cambodia and its people. And then, you know, people like us do our part as best we're able as well. But having said that, we're very, very aware that we cannot do this alone. This work is always done in partnership with other people and with other churches. So we want to say an enormous thank you to Norton Summit for being one of those churches and many of those people who have walked with us in that and supported us in a great number of ways. When we were there, the next word or email of encouragement or prayer or whatever it would have been was never far away from wherever it came. So we were always thankful to receive those, and it's humbling to know that we're a part of many people's prayers. So we thank you for all of that. Thank you for Norton Summit Church, those of you who are here who have supported us directly as well. We want to say a huge thank you for that. And just on the theme of partnership, our last Kahoot question for the morning. I don't know if anyone has a chance to catch the winners or the leaders. We'll see how we go. If you would like to partner further with us, how might you do it? Join a dedicated prayer team, catch up for a coffee and chat, invite us to a Bible study or some sort of small group, consider partnering financially with an ongoing pledge of support. And actually, no one can catch up because all the answers are correct. So those are some of the opportunities if you would like to consider taking any of them. The dedicated prayer team is a new thing for us this term, and we're just seeking people who have a particular passion for prayer who would like to be, for us to be in touch a little more often than our newsletters provide, and with perhaps some more specific prayer needs than we can put in newsletters. If you have a passion for prayer, that's something we'd love you to consider. While we're here, we're very happy to, we're spending a lot of our time just getting around and meeting with people and telling some more stories. If you'd like to do that, understand our work a bit more, very happy to catch up one-on-one or in some sort of a group. We have financial need too as we prepare to return. We're about 75% of toward where we need to be, praying that that can come together quickly over the next couple of months too. So there's certainly a need and opportunity there as well. But thank you for considering any or all of those things. We are most thankful again for all you've done, all you are doing, for having us here this morning. So Rach is going to talk through the winners, the prizes for the Kahoot quiz. There it is. Do you want to explain?
Is there someone? Table? Who's table?
Is there a table there called someone? Table?
Okay, well, we'll go. We weren't
expecting that. Was this the mind of Michaela or Isaac at work getting that? Both of you, yeah. So.
All right. So for the actual winners, your prize is you can grab one of the kamaras from any of the tables and take them with you. So this table here, I think, are the winners.
Okay. Okay, and who was Mambo? Okay, excellent. Well, the things spread around on the tables are available and up for grabs. The supporter cards there. You can sign up to receive information for us to be in touch, all of those sorts of things. But thank you so much. Blessings to you all.
So we're going to be closing now and just pray again quickly. Just to let you know, in the newsletter, Church in Action, we mentioned there'd be a special offering taken up today. As you heard, Luke, Rachel family have needs, as we all do, but particularly as they prepare to head back and just while they're living in Adelaide for 6 months. So Max is going to be at the back of the room, I believe. No, Mandy's going to be at the back of the room. Is that right, Max? Max or Mandy will be at the back of the room. And someone has a red bag, and so we'd love you to be prepared. And if you could be, as you're leaving, just if you feel that's a good thing that you could do to support them, that would be great. So let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for the story of Cambodia, which is really often a sad story through their history recently. But we thank you that there are Christian communities in embryo, growing, developing. We thank you for the Hutchinsons, we pray you'd bless them, Lord. Give them perseverance and courage, patience and joy, Lord, as they prepare to return. And when they arrive, give them a real sense, Lord, that you are with them, working through them. And we pray, Lord, that we've learnt lessons too that can help us be witnesses here, local and global. We pray and thank you for Joe and the team preparing music and leading us so well. We bless you, Jesus. We praise your name. Amen. Have a great Sunday.